You're listening to the Peter Ryan Report on Coinspice.io. You're listening to the Peter Ryan Report on Coinspice.io.
Very cool. So back again with the Peter Ryan Report on CoinSpice. This is episode number 3. If you haven't already, check out our first two. Peter waxes on crypto social media and takes on Twitter, which is a super fascinating topic. And then our last episode, we delved into crypto worldviews and the breakdown between maybe left and right wingers or more progressive and more conservative elements. Today, this particular episode, we're going to talk about product market fit, merchant adoption. I'll let you go into it, Peter. Why is this something worth even considering?
This is important because every startup business needs to find their ideal customer type so that they're not trying to boil the whole ocean and they're super targeted on getting their product to the right person to get the most ROI. And even though we're not a startup business, we're like a startup movement or startup decentralized network, we all need to have that same mentality and understanding at different stages of growth, we have to hit the customer that needs our product and services the most.
And so for something like Bitcoin and you know BCH, Bitcoin Cash, that seems to be where we're heading as a community. I've heard a lot of people say when I talk to them who are knee deep in business development and so on, trying to get merchant adoption out there, that they're pushing extremely hard because they feel like the window's closing.
Exactly. There is definitely a sense of this window closing that we had our day in the sun potentially of getting in front of everyone's face and getting that key foothold that could push us to the next rung. But unfortunately, we hit the bear market, and perhaps with all of the shenanigans that has gone on in the space, people are just done with this idea of cryptocurrency. It was a fad. It's not coming back. You know, no one's not going to wear. You know,
right. Late 2017, I was giving out Bitcoin at the time. Because you know people were most interested in that, and I was throwing it in new wallets and so forth that they had downloaded, and you know they were getting $20, $30, $40 transaction fees and having to wait 24 hours, and they were just like, what? Like you know, bro, I have Wells Fargo, bro. Like I've got Apple. Like what? Like what are you doing? This is stupid. So I believe that drove out a lot of people. I think that, and then the price just kind of sort of followed. I'll let you kind of address that comment.
Yeah, it's kind of funny that in 2017, we kind of made it over that gigantic hurdle of, this is for the black market. You only buy drugs with this. You know, this is crazy stuff. Am I going to jail just because I'm owning some Bitcoin? We made it over all those hurdles just to be defeated by a high transaction fee.
It really was surreal to watch because I had people who thought I was nuts. And then as the market went up, they were like, wow, this guy's a genius. So tell me again what you're doing. And I would try to introduce it to them. And, you know, even I had heard all the warnings, you know, been part of the debates about scaling and so on. And maybe I just hadn't, I don't know, internalized it enough, but I shot them BTC and not BCH. And wow, did that backfire?
Yeah, and so that's the problem here, that unfortunately that 2017 bubble perhaps brought us to too many people too quickly that didn't really resemble the ideal user of this technology at this stage. And so ultimately, when problems started happening, you know, they were less incentivized to stick through the hardships to follow through. I mean, you could think about it this way. I'm going to keep going back to the startup analogy, but imagine you were trying to sell, you know, let's say some enterprise construction software, and you know, you're selling this to the average guy that wants to make a tool shed in his backyard. And hey, he might find some utility there. He might be like, well, yeah, I can use this to do some blueprints or whatever, to make my little, hobbyist project. But ultimately, he's not your customer. Your customer is the guy building a mall that's going to house hundreds of businesses, or, you know, someone that's going to build a 6-story hotel. You know, that's where you need to start identifying the customer types, even though you could say, look, they're all constructing something. They're doing the same thing. You could theoretically group all these people together. You need to get more specific and figure out, well, who's actually worth the marketing dollars? Who's actually worth going out and onboarding them? And then if any bad things happen, they're going to stick around, and you might actually find some users that are willing to get through the hard times to say, this is so good for me that I'm going to provide you guys feedback and how to make it better. And I'm going to stick around because I'm going to get the gains of being an early adopter here. And so that's how we need to look at crypto in general. And we need to find the people that have not a need for, you know, a couple extra percent return on their investment portfolio, but we need to find the people that need an uncensorable P2P electronic cash right now, anywhere around the world.
And are you suggesting, like, I'm trying to get to the meat of it here, because I tend to drag you out abstractly. Are you suggesting like point of sale, easier point of sale solutions for merchants and restaurants and whomever else?
Yeah. And when I say that there are ideal customer types, that's not to say there aren't different ones at the same time. It's just finding which are the ones with the highest ROI in terms of the marketing spend that you do. And so when you're looking at, let's say, a retail location, there's a very clear argument there that you can save money in terms of your credit card processing fees, in terms of chargebacks, in terms of a whole litany of things that we could list right now. However, you know, are those people really needing that right away? And so, yeah, there's a group of them that like want that. They're like, yeah, okay, this is a risky new technology, but hey, if it saves me money and basically I can do both, I can have my traditional financial means and I can have this new crypto and I can see what my customers prefer and I can experiment. And if they really start using the Bitcoin method more and more, then I can cater to that and do more commerce there and upgrade my services. So I think that is definitely a customer type to pursue, but at the same time, are those people willing to put up with volatility risk? Are those people willing to put up with the onboarding and understanding of new technology that might not always present itself as you know, the most digestible in a way that just, you know, opening up a point of sale terminal app that everyone sort of implicitly knows how to operate does. So these are the things that might present sort of your average retail location from some really getting on board. And then it becomes, well, who's willing to take a volatility risk? Who's willing to put up with sort of this onboarding difficulty? Okay, I got to basically do a book report before I can actually enable these cryptocurrencies on my site. Not to say that, you know, there isn't really super fast and efficient ways to get started on this, but there is this, you know, hurdle people need to get over. And so when I look at that, I see an ideal customer type as the people that are getting censored from any sort of traditional means of financial services, whether that means a bank account or a payment processor. And when I look around the world and I see who are those people, it looks awfully like political dissidents out there that are saying things that are a little bit off color. And the most prime example that I could illustrate is when Jordan Peterson, Dave Rubin, and a whole bunch of people on the right wing started to see their payment processors start to cut them off. And there was the big realization when Jordan Peterson and Dave Rubin had these video messages go out saying how they were going to get off of Patreon because they do not like how arbitrarily they are censoring people's accounts and what they can raise purely based on political opinion. And so they decided to exit based on moral grounds and to find a way to create a new service or find a new service that actually enables a neutral platform for accepting money for people that might have controversial opinions. And so when you look at those people and they're cut off from everything else, again, they don't care about if the price swings 20% or 20% the other way, on a given day. Or, you know, they don't exactly care if they need to do a little extra education because, you know, it's either that or squat. And so those people are the most incentivized to actually find utility in this new payment mechanism that can actually solve their problem. And that's ultimately, you know, what we're all here to do. And let's say, do they believe in the store value principle right now? Perhaps not. Maybe everyone that's sort of in that camp, and even retail locations, you can see how the service BitPay works, and you'll understand that there's an instant cash out feature. So retail locations don't actually have to take the store value risk. So even if the grouping of customer types don't take the store value risk, they find such utility in the medium of exchange, that payment rail, that ability to actually send value from anyone, anywhere, at any time, instantly through the Bitcoin network so that it hits your wallet. And then if you want, you can cash back out to fiat. Then when you want to send transactions back, you cash back into, you know, Bitcoin and then pop it back out. That's not necessarily bad at this stage in terms of what my take on it is. And only once we start seeing a real foundation of those customer types in terms of the medium exchange property take hold, do we actually then rise above into that store value property where the people that were using it purely as a payment rail become large enough to actually have this circular economy within themselves, so that we have that ideal world where no longer do you actually have to cash out all the time to pay for goods and services. You are getting paid, you are paying other people in the cryptocurrency of your choice.
And that would be one crypto equals one crypto, right? To analogize it.
Exactly. In a world where we're all using Bitcoin Cash, there's no need to, worry about the volatility of what it is in U.S. dollars.
Right. So the takeaway here, the hot take, the spicy take for product market fit is to get out there and find the remnant, solidify those people, get them working on, you know, not a full-fledged knowledge, but understanding the basic risks. And you've pegged them as being political dissidents. They're all over the world and in different forms and fashion, from, social media influencers to scientists. And these will be, and people like them, they'll be the start of what we've been looking for in terms of adoption that matters, adoption of substance, right?
And just to put a finer point on that customer type of political dissident, and I know I mentioned Jordan Peterson and Dave Rubin and what they recently done with Patreon as sort of a very illustrative example, but probably even more nail on the head was, you know, back years ago, WikiLeaks started taking Bitcoin, and that was huge. And that was also an event that caused certain, what were perceived as certain nervous comments by Satoshi that perhaps ultimately led to his disappearance and sort of fading away as cryptocurrency was growing into something that was controversial and that was empowering an organization and a group of people that were actually really putting themselves in the hot seat and going up against and speaking truth to power. And so perhaps the real mascot and the real way we need to think about this is, without Bitcoin, who knows where WikiLeaks would have been and their ability to actually bring the truth that they have been collecting out there, distributing it, actually being real journalists and actually providing sunlight to the dark, shadowy operations that various governments are doing all around the world.
You're listening to the Peter Ryan Report on Coinspice.io. You're listening to the Peter Ryan Report on Coinspice.io. You're listening to the Peter Ryan Report on Coinspice.io.